Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
It is the ATS Mix with Johnny Anonymous and...
on the phone, in the studio. Actually, I'm not on the phone, I'm in the studio. Dave Rabinator. What's happening, brother?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's kind of interesting being able to be in the same studio together now. So, I mean, it's kind of weird.
It's very strange. And, you know, I had a wonderful couple of weeks up there at James Gilliland's Sattva Sanctuary.
Yeah, damn you, John. Damn you.
I know. We wanted you to be there. In fact, you were there in spirit in more cases than we care to admit.
Tobin spirit and tarot card reading guide. that was a minor sidebar. The only reason I put Tobin is because I'm sure it really exists. Because I watched Ghostbusters the other night. I hadn't seen it in a long time. And they were going to look up something in the Tobin spirit.
That's wonderful, Dave. Thanks for sharing.
Well, you know, I mean, it was kind of like simian survival. You know, when I found out, I used it for years and found out that simian is ape. I didn't know.
Absolutely.
It was a good line. So anyway, sorry, John. Okay,
you know what I thought might be kind of neat is since I've been gone and the ATS investigative team has been away from the Gillian Sanctuary for a while, I thought we'd give a quick call to James and see if anything has happened.
Well, I saw the pictures, and of course I'm privy to stuff that is still a part of our non-disclosure that we can't say anything about at this stage. But boy, has the membership got some really cool stuff that is coming up.
I'm happy to report I only have about 111 hours left of video captures to go through.
You mean you did a whole 30 minutes in 2 days? God, John, congrats.
Well, it was 120 hours to start with, so I've gone...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, congrats, man. You're really making headway. What, maybe 2009, December somewhere?
Yeah. Well, if Bill, or the better known as Skeptic Overlord, and Mark, better known as Springer, had anything to say about it, they'd like it to already be done.
Yeah, I know.
They'd like me to bend time and space and the laws of physics and...
unless they had a 65 Corvair, you know, back in the 60s, they're not going to do that. So just do your best, John, and you know, I'm right behind you, brother.
That's what bothers me.
That's what scares you.
Yes. Anyway, let's call up James and see if we can get him online and
call up James. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're trying to connect to James Gilliland at the Sattva Sanctuary right now.
He said he. James Gilliland speaking.
Hi, James. How you doing? Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit from the ATS Mix Radio Show. How you doing?
Doing great. How you doing?
Great. We just wanted to kind of call and see if anything strange or interesting has happened since I left several days ago with the investigative team.
You know, it never stopped. Actually, we have a couple of your fans here right now.
Oh, is that Ma and Pa Kettle?
No. Some of your fans have been showing up here. And they
Who?
They're going, where's Johnny?
Who is it?
I said, well, he's coming back, you know.
Yeah, it's some of those stalkers, Dave, that we talked about.
Hey, it's not that midget, is it, James?
No.
Okay.
Although
very
we don't...
Tall, very, very beautiful.
We don't want to discriminate against midgets, though.
It's a chick? Is she a midget?
She's not a midget, Dave.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Although there would be nothing wrong if she were a midget.
That's right.
These are real, very tall, beautiful women.
Wow. I left at the wrong time.
Oh, man. And I should have got out of that, you know, unlocked myself in that men's toilet and made the trip.
Let me take a picture with my cell phone here.
Yes, please do that. We love dead air.
Yeah.
Remnants of John Lear. Oh, boy.
It plays real well on radio, too.
Yeah.
Hey, well, listen, you know, my buddy Dave Rabbit, although he was planning on coming up there with the investigative team, he was not able to attend because he had his own little investigation that he was doing. But he has a bevy of questions for you, James. So I'm going to hand it over to my partner, Dave Rabbit, the beloved Rabbit Meister. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you very much, John, for tossing the baton over to the Rabinator. James, you know, I mean, Johnny's kind of kept me up to date on all the stuff, and I've seen some of the privy video, and obviously we can't mention the special guest that was there on this particular thing. But I got to ask you, I mean, you know, I know John. John's my partner. I love him. We've been friends for over a year, but he's anal as hell. So my question to you, James, is, was it a real problem for you having the anal Johninator up there?
You know, it wasn't a problem at all. Actually, we had a lot of fun, and some parts of me are just as anal as Johnny.
Really?
Well,
I mean, I'm my own worst skeptic.
Really? Some parts of you are as anal as Johnny?
probably
for FCC clarification, we probably don't want to delve into the specifics of that, James. But here's a question. I mean, you got a chance for the first time to not only meet Johnny, but you got a chance to meet the Springinator, a.k.a. Mark Allen, and the Krakenator, a.k.a. Stephen Melzer. So how did you, out of the three of them, let me, scale of one to three, out of the three of them, how would you rate them? And keeping in mind, they all have a very good sense of humor, and we'll take it, you know, however way you dish it out. So between Johnny, Mark, and Steven, how would you rate them as far as the type of people that really get a...
Are you ever going to get to the question, Dave?
I was going to say nut, but I didn't know if I could say nut or not. On the sanctuary and what it's all about.
You know, actually, I would rate them as all unique.
Oh,
you know,
good answer. Good answer.
Oh, you're so political. All right, enough of the BS. Now I'll ask you the serious stuff. I know from talking to Johnny that you guys experienced some really, really amazing stuff. So my question, I guess, is how does that compare with things that you have seen at Mount Adams and Trout Lake since you've been there? I mean, is it pretty high, pretty equal on the scale?
You know, it's funny because we've had a lot of activity here over the past probably 10 or 12 years, but it seems like everything came together, almost everything that we've seen. We didn't have the big giant triangles visit us, and that's about it. But we saw just about everything. We saw the massive lights on the mountain show up. We had ships come in right on cue exactly when they said they were going to appear. And, you know, this was with the entire production crew of the A&E Paranormal State having pre-knowledge of it, as well as Johnny. So, and Johnny was aware that we informed all the crew, and they had their cameras ready, and the ships did appear right on cue, exactly where we said they were.
Wow.
At the exact time, to the minute. I know Johnny can testify about that. They were saying, oh, it's 2 minutes till 10, and Johnny said, no, it's 10 on the button, and he looked at his clock. So we're going by Johnny's clock.
That's right.
Well, you know, he has an atomic clock, so that would be wise.
That's what we told the other crew. We said, I'm sorry, we're keyed into the atomic clock. So.
And so what if it was 2 minutes earlier than... That's still claim to make hours before something's supposed to happen.
I mean, it'd be different if it's like an hour or 3 hours later, you know, so...
Yeah. Well, you know, I told one of the guys, said, well, all it was a big light, you know. And I said, it was a massive light. And I said, basically, it appeared exactly where we said it would at the exact time. Now, you've got 360 degrees it could have appeared. And 24 hours in a day. So do the math, you know, down to the minute it appeared, and what are the odds of that? And they just kind of rolled their eyes a little bit. But
yeah, speaking of the light that's in the location that everybody said they were going to point to, and I mean, nobody really knows what it is, what it isn't, or whatever, but still, the Springinator was impressed because he being an ex-Navy guy, ex-Coast Guard guy, said that, you know, he's very familiar with things and distances, you know, as from being involved in that particular genre of whatever he was involved in. And he said it had to be like several million candle power to be that far away and to produce that kind of an image. So, I mean, it obviously was large enough that would have been one hell of a piece of equipment for someone trying to get up the mountain at the exact location and you know, not have someone see them. You know, I mean, that's the crazy thing. But you know, I mean, I tell you, I got to ask you a question, James. I got to ask you a question dead serious. Because after seeing all the things that I've seen that Johnny showed me and whatever, has anybody, I mean, can anybody go up to Mount Adams itself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a wilderness area, so you can't take a vehicle up there. You can only go so far, but the area that we're filming is sheer cliffs and just massive lava boulders, and there's no way of getting any kind of a vehicle or snowmobile up there.
Okay, all right, but here's where I'm going with this. Okay, so why has nobody, or is it against the law, for instance, to take the group from, that believes in the UFOs like we all do? Is there any reason why you all at the time couldn't have gone up at the base of the mountain or whatever to view all the things or not?
Well, the area where it's happening is actually Native American land. It's on the Yakima Reservation.
Oh, okay.
They've been very generous with me. They've allowed me to go certain places, and they just say, don't let the other white folks see you, But I have a Native American card because my mother was part Cherokee, so... I utilize that, and I've given them the videos, and they're very supportive. Even the tribal police, everybody has gone on record about all UFO activity up there. So they're very supportive of the work, but it might be hard to get a crew up there.
Right.
And really, there's nothing there because we did have a group went up there. Our guest, which we can't mention, he went up there with his whole group. They all went up there and trekked up to the area, and they looked up there, and they said, there is no possible way you could get anything up here other than a massive helicopter to bring in something to generate that kind of light.
And then you'd have to get the entire Indian tribe and nation involved in the thing, in this huge conspiracy. And I don't see, as much as they trust the white man, I seriously doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah,
so wow.
Want us to do what?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we understand you've got a kind of a conference or something going on here. Tell everybody what's happening there at the SATFA Sanctuary this weekend.
Well, we've got Glenn Kimball coming up, and he talks a lot about all the ancient, artifacts and the ancient archaeology that were not shown.
Glenn Campbell, the singer?
No. He's an archaeologist, basically.
Oh. Well, ask him, will you do me one favor, James?
Sure.
When Glenn gets up there, could you maybe record him singing Wichita Lineman? That's one of my favorite songs.
He said Glenn Kimball, not Campbell.
Sorry. I thought he said Campbell.
No, Kimball.
Oh. Well, then ask him about the one-armed man.
Like Kimball, too.
But I'm pumped. James gets in the mood. Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I know, but before we run out of time, how many cans of bush beans do you actually have up in the cupboard? John said you had a lot.
Oh, God, I don't know. Quite a few.
Less than 100 or more than 100?
Oh, no, probably less. Well, probably maybe 12.
Well, there's kind of a running joke going on, James, because, every time I go out on an investigation, Dave always asks me if I sat around a campfire and ate bush beans. And yours is the only place I've ever been to in the scads of places I've ever gone that when he asked me, well, did they have any bush beans, I could say affirmatively, why, yes, they had a second shell full of them.
And he missed the shot of it, too. That really disappointed me, too, John.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, James, how come you don't have a souvenir shop there at the ranch?
Oh, I just haven't thought about that.
I mean, because I think that would be lots of fun. You could have little alien creatures or something, a little miniature.
Dave's always looking for the T-shirt he can buy that said.
Johnny went there. You know what I got out of this? Zippity doodah. Not a rock, not a leaf, not a animal cluster. Nothing. I mean, I would. You know what would have been fun?
I brought you back to Echinacea that you can chew.
John, you're so insensitive. You know what would have been the perfect gift for me?
We're all about to find out. Yes, what, Dave?
A can of bush beans off of James Gillian's shelf. Never have told him. I mean, so that way we could say that you stole it. Have him autograph it, Have him autograph it and then send it to me, John.
Yeah.
In Saigon,
Uh-huh. Well, listen, Jace, we know that you have a lot of people there that you have to get back to. We certainly appreciate your time. And just one quick question as a summary. So what did you think about the above top secret investigative crew in whole?
I'll have to hand it to you as far as, I don't know why you call yourself Johnny Low-Tech, because you brought the highest tech equipment of anybody that's ever been here and really did a serious investigation with, bringing up all the satellite data and everything else, which I really admired the impeccable integrity there. And I think the thing I found so amusing is when one of the MUFON ladies came up and was telling everybody that, we're only seeing meteors and satellites and stuff like that, passing flyers around everybody, and then she's quoting your site, Above Top Secret, and then she hands you the material. And then you're going, I am Johnny. I am Johnny from Top Secret. That to me was the highlight of the entire event.
Well, that's a story I missed.
Yeah, it was incredible. But
I just have one thing. Are those chicks still standing next to you?
Oh yeah, I don't know if I want to call them chicks. They're too close.
Can you put one of them on the phone?
Oh
real quick,
God! Maybe? Oh Lord! Sure.
No, I want to talk to one of them.
Hi there.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. Are you an above top secret member?
Yes, I am.
And yeah, what name would you go by?
Can Pink I get Rose. A word in it? What?
Pink Rose.
Pink Rose?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It is nature's expression of unconditional love.
That's lovely.
Really?
Well, yeah.
If I had known that you chicks were going to be up there, I mean, it would have been a different thing, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I would have
right.
gone on the. I would have loved to have gone on that investigative, assignment.
That's right. Hey, you never know what you're going to find here at the Aceti Ranch.
Well, see, there you go. You know, I mean, I just turned 60. You don't mind old guys, do you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm still kind of a young rabbinator, but at heart. All right. Well, it's nice to talk to you, sweetheart. We look forward to seeing you back on the side. Okay.
Yeah. Could you put James back on?
Yeah. Put James back on.
All right. So we have the chicks.
Is she hot?
Oh yeah.
Now are you saying that, or are you just trying to get Dave up there?
This segment has gone so south. This has gone so
That's
south.
Johnny. Ask Johnny what happened here. We had beautiful women all over this place. The whole A&E crew
really?
Was here.
Johnny conveniently left that part of his story out.
Well, I sent pictures. So
did you really?
Johnny with his arm around two beautiful women doing the can-can.
Really? Were you all doing the reenactment from Bridge on the River Kwai?
No, we're just
Dave.
Bringing orbs in. The more goofs you get out in the field and having fun, the more the orbs come in. You know, those fictitious things everybody's trying to say don't exist.
Yeah. And speaking of orbs, you know that they found orbs that had my picture on it?
Yeah.
They're on the caption contest of Johnny taking a squat out there at the campsite.
Oh, yeah? Well, we got pictures here in the basement and all over the place. These things are appearing. They're not water spots. They're not dust particles. And they're surrounding the whole A&E crew, the Paranormal State crew, just massive orbs all over the place. And, we tried to show them to them, and they kind of don't believe in orbs. So.
But, I love that. I love those A&E guys,
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lots of fun.
Well, those cameras don't have brains, so they don't have a belief system. They just take a picture of what they're... Well,
James, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to wrap this up.
I thought I was trying to wrap it up.
Oh, well, then wrap it up, Dave.
Okay. Well, James, listen, I can't tell you, really, on behalf of AboveTopSecret.com, Mark Allen, Stephen Melzer, and the entire staff, and all the amigos at the AboveTopSecret.com website, what a real pleasure it has been. Everybody has said what a generous, great, kind, informative host that you were for all the crew that was there. And my only regret, and I told Johnny this, my only regret is that I did not come or wasn't able to come. But I guarantee you this, the next trip that the Johninator makes, I'm going to come because I want to be a part of what I believe was something amazing that the crew experienced. And I personally can't thank you enough for treating my partner with kindness, even though he's a complete jerk.
Actually, we love Johnny. He was great.
I know.
Had a great time
and he knows I'm kidding. That's why he's smirking, because he knows I love him. All right.
And
all right, John. That's my
people for writing all those nice things.
Oh, really? Or were they writing it on the walls in the bathrooms or what?
My mother does that. My mother hires all these people to call in and say all these nice things about me.
In the bathroom? She's writing stuff on your bathroom walls?
She's posting on your site constantly.
Oh, sorry.
We love anonymous people.
Well, yeah, we definitely do, especially if their last name is anonymous. All right, John, take us out.
All right. Well, James, thanks once again. We're going to ask you to stay on the line here. But right now, what a coinkadink. We just happened to have an interview that I recorded at your sanctuary a couple of weeks ago. And so what do you say, Dave? Let's go ahead and roll that interview I did with James at the Satfa Sanctuary outside of Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington.
Rolling!
The ATS Mix Mobile Headquarters Team on assignment.
Well, this is Johnny Anonymous. I am currently in a little unknown part of the world for Johnny here called Trout Lake. I had never heard of Trout Lake before I came up here for this little preliminary investigation that we're doing for AboveTopSecret.com. some of you listeners and members might remember that about 4 or 5 months ago, we did an interview with a very interesting gentleman by the name of James Gilliland. Now, there's kind of a 6 degrees of separation here with James that we haven't told everybody yet, although I do believe about a year ago we did mention James, that we'd planned to have an interview with James at the San Jose UFO Expo, oh, yeah. And I believe that was in August or September of last year, mm-hmm. but our schedules were conflicted and we weren't able to hook up together, but he did do an interview with us over the phone. And because of all the rash of members and visitors that have had a curiosity and interest with the SATFA Sanctuary and especially James Gilliland, it was decided that ATS should come out and do a little preliminary investigation to find out if there's any truth to what's going on here in Trout Lake, Washington, right outside Mount Adams. Now, as I got to tell you listeners right now, where we are sitting right now, we are outdoors, we're outside, about 13.5 miles away from where we are sitting. I'm seeing a beautiful shot of Mount Adams, which, if I recall correctly, James told me earlier, is about 13,000 feet high. Beautiful shot, beautiful scenery. It's a beautiful ranch. Echinacea growing all over the place. It's beautiful. If you don't know what echinacea is, Google it, people. You'll be glad you did. I also have to tell you that you may hear some little wind chimes in the background. That's for effect. We also have some other folks that are walking around here from A&E who are doing a program called Paranormal State, and they're going to be doing a documentary with Mr. Gilliland, but he has agreed to do our interview first, so thank you very much. I'd like to right now say hello to James Gilliland. Hi, James, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Great. Now, you've been a gracious host here mm-hmm. the past couple of days. You've allowed AboveTopSecret.com to come up here with some guests and mm-hmm. also the owners and CEO of Above Top Secret to come witness for themselves this unusual thing that's going on at your sanctuary. Now, just as a kind of a quick update, because you told us in our first interview, you had a near-death experience, yeah. and it was so life-changing that that's actually how all this came about. That was like the beginning piece. So for our listeners and members that have not heard that interview, mm-hmm. tell us briefly again what happened and how it directed you to here.
Yeah. Well, basically it was a drowning, and I went through the tunnel of light that everybody talks about, and I ended up in that golden plane of bliss. And then when I returned after that experience, I had what most people would call like an interdimensional mind. I could actually experience the other planes and dimensions and the life on them. And that's basically what opened the door to probably a 30-year-plus journey studying every mystery school, every religion, every process-oriented therapy. I studied with lamas and yogis and went through the TIC, the Teaching of the Inner Christ, went through the Tibetan Foundation. And all of it was to get back to that plane of bliss, or how to connect into that plane of bliss.
Now, when you talk about this plane, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah. this plane of bliss, was this actually a part of the near-death scenario?
Yes, yes. It was where I ended up in this just most blissful, loving, joyous space. I was more of a light being, but there was a greater light and consciousness that surrounded me, and it was just the most ecstatic, blissful, secure feeling you could ever think of. But there's many, many levels along the way, and I learned how to connect with these other levels and experience these multidimensional realities.
That's amazing. So since that experience, it's been a lifelong quest.
Yes, yes.
Now, you mentioned that you'd studied under a variety of different faiths and whatnot.
Yes.
Your personal belief system that you have now, mm-hmm. is it a culmination of a lot of beliefs from what you learned, or is it your own, or what is it? Is it trial yeah. and error?
Well, I feel like any religion or any of this old ancient books or the sacred books, you treat them like an orange. You peel them, you eat the meat, and you spit out the seeds. And there's universal...
Did you find a lot of seeds?
Yeah. And there's universal truths in all of them.
Right.
I mean, there are universal principles and understandings that are necessary for a healthy society and environment, and they're in every teaching, as well as a lot of things that were altered down through time, you know, for kings and institutions. They altered them to fit their programs. And so you have to kind of bypass that and bypass all that and connect into really, you know, there's an old Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah. And you get back to basics is that the three main basics I saw in all the religions is the ones even that Jesus laid out was love God with all your heart, love your neighbors yourself. And there needs to be one more in there, which says, you know, honor the Creator in all creation, or, you know, so we don't destroy our environment as well, because we keep separating the Creator out of creation, and we think we can do whatever we want to the planet, and that's right. Why we're in the pickle we're in right now.
And so I think there would probably be a lot of people that would agree with you that this poor Earth of ours is in a bit of a pickle.
It is, yeah, it is. And it's about ready to unpickle itself.
Whether we want it to or not.
Yes, yes.
Well, okay, well, how many acres is this ranch?
There's 70 acres here.
70 acres, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know what the cost is here in Washington, but in California, that's a pretty penny right there, yeah, to buy a piece of land here. Where does the money come from to run and operate or even purchase an area like this?
Well, what happened is almost, it was like, I feel like it was another lifetime ago. I was in commercial real estate, and I had my own office, and I had a beautiful house, and I had everything that you would think to become successful. And then I had the near-death experience, and then I liquidated everything after that. And so I put it into this place here and started building this retreat center, because I totally shifted into service mode and you know, I started building this sanctuary for people to come to. And
but why here? Why this particular area?
I was actually guided here through visions. I
really?
I kept seeing visions and meditations, and I saw the area. And I got out a map of the United States and used a divining rods, and I actually used a pendulum. And when I got over this area, my hand got real hot. And so I realized this was the area I was supposed to be in. And I was also trying to find the land that matched the vision, because I saw the big mountain, I saw the river, and then a little mountain behind me. And then I saw the words Little Mountain in the visions, and I said, it makes no sense. Why would they say Little Mountain when there's this massive mountain right in front of me? And then I found out we're on Little Mountain Road.
Oh, so this is Little Mountain Road?
Yes, wow. So we're actually on Little Mountain Road. So that's why they were showing me Little Mountain in the vision.
That's weird. Now, who was it that was giving you these visions, or do you even know?
You know, I don't know. I don't know where they came from.
Right.
But I just felt this incredible ecstatic bliss and joy, and then I'd see the vision. And that's kind of what's manifested here. That's why everybody feels so good
right
when they come here.
Well, there's been some conjecture that right here by Mount Adams, and I don't know. I tried to do some investigation to find out if this might be true, but a lot of people seem to think that there is like earth grid lines, or
yes,
sometimes called ley lines. Is this area one of those areas?
It is. It's a vortex, and there's intense energy here, magnetic energy, and people feel it when they come here. And it's a place where the veils between worlds are very thin. So it's very easy to make contact here, not just with the more spiritually and technologically advanced ETs that are ultra-dimensional. They're on different dimensions, but also it's an incredible place to heal,
sure,
know, to release the past.
Now, does somebody need to be spiritual to experience this?
No, it's better.
Yeah.
It depends on what level you want to have this experience.
Right.
If you just want to see, you know, a metallic ship flying around or a light in the sky, you can come and experience that. But if you really want to experience it firsthand, then you have to rise to the occasion.
I'm not trying to sound negative here, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, as an interviewer, I've got to ask sometimes questions I don't want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you have people that are coming here that might have a nefarious agenda?
Yeah, we have had that in the past, but the land just kicks their butt.
Really?
Yeah. You know, because you'll see people, if they come here with a bad attitude,
yeah,
it gets accelerated and amplified, and it's almost self-consuming.
Wow.
Yeah, they have a choice. They either heal it or they...
Get overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the energy itself has its own kind of...
And it doesn't care if it's positive or negative, it's going to amplify...
No, it's going to amplify everything.
Wow.
But you're the one holding it, you know, so...
So what do? Do they just grab everything and take off because it's too overwhelming for them? Or?
Yeah, they usually just turn around and get in their car and leave, or they come out and, you know, within just minutes, if they're really negative, just they start getting into their stuff. Everything comes up for them, and I don't say anything. All I have to do is just sit and smile and send the energy to them, and they just kind of cook in their own juices.
Well, you sent me a email of a photograph of something that reminded me of something similar I had shot about 4 or 5 years ago that appeared to be disc-shaped.
Yeah.
but appeared to be, and I've never been able to see anybody else that had a similar photograph. There's this black void that seems to be. Could you kind of explain the photograph and what you think might be that black void?
Well, what I find out is that they can generate their own wormholes.
Right.
And they jump in and out of existence here. And this is one of the places it's like a portal they pop in and out of quite a bit. And what I understood about one of the propulsion systems that they use, the extremely advanced ones, they actually create a void in front of the ship. And the ship is pulled into that void. And so their technology is creating this like a black void, and it's pulling, as they're going, it's pulling the ship into that void. It's really interesting.
Do you think we, and by we I mean Earthlings, have that type of technology to be able to duplicate that?
Not that group. Group's really advanced. But we do have, we've back-engineered a lot of technology. But when you get up into the more ultra-dimensional levels, and you've got to have the consciousness to ride on the ships. Because it would just turn you upside down. Just to be in their presence would turn most people upside down. They couldn't. The frequencies would be too much for them.
Now, have you had the opportunity to be on a ship?
Yes, I have.
Are you able to describe anything that you saw on the ship?
I've been on different ships,
right.
And some were very basic, really simple. There's hardly anything in them. Some of the metallic ones, the lower level ones, they might say, are very basic. And some are pure energy, and some ships are more of a magnetized light ship. And the only way you can experience these ships is to get in touch with your own multidimensional nature,
right.
And get out of your body.
I was just going to ask, how would an organic being be able to be in a light ship? So,
well, you have to, you know, really, if you're going to experience that, you know, we haven't, because we are multidimensional beings, we have a physical body, you know, we have a mental and emotional body, we also have an energy body, and we have other levels of ourselves all the way up to the source itself, you might say.
Sure.
So we are multidimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum. It's important to realize that when you understand this and you realize you're not just a body and a personality, which is what we think we are,
right?
You can get out of the body and then you can experience the rest of the universe. We can only measure less than 1% of the universe which we live in.
Right.
And some scientists try to hang on to that as proof. But really, it's not proof at all. It's extremely limited consciousness and intelligence to think that the physical is all there is.
Right.
Because any physicist, you know, worth their salt will tell you that there's at least 11 more dimensions. And if you look at all the life on just this dimension alone, it's amazing. You know, add 11 more dimensions to that, think what's out there.
Sure. And how long have you actually been here on the sanctuary now?
22 years.
22 years, okay.
Yeah.
Now, in that 22 years, would you say that you've learned all that you can learn, or is it every day a new learning process, or you are being enlightened more?
You know, I think the quickest way to have a real hard lesson in where you're at is to consider yourself a know-it-all and think you know it all, because the more I know, the more I find out I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, to say, oh, I'm totally healed, you know, I know it all, I'm ready to ascend or whatever, be ready, because the universe is going to bring you some lessons right around the corner. So I find out the more I experience, the more I realize I don't know and how vast the universe is.
Sure.
And even in physics, you know, it's like you think you got it all figured out, then there's a whole nother level to learn of physics where the rules are different.
You know, speaking of such, nice segue, James. Thank you so much. It's almost like I paid you to do that. Physics being different. Okay, mm-hmm. We've heard some wild claims, and I'm using the term wild just for our members and listeners. One particular case, and I'm sure you've probably got hundreds of them, but I heard, and you can tell me if this is true or not, you had a guest appear, and I don't recall if he was skeptical or what, but apparently something happened where, and other people supposedly saw this too, visually something was appearing with like pictograms and iconic illustrations and stuff, and it totally blew away.
Yeah.
What, could you tell us what that was? And wasn't it a doctor or scientist?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us
about
that.
Well, actually, you know, Brooks Agnew was the man. He has no trouble with mentioning his name, and he'd love to talk. It'd be great to have him on the show.
Okay.
He's actually creating an inner Earth expedition right now.
Awesome.
To check out the inner Earth. So he said, I'm a scientist. I'm going to go check it out.
Right.
He said, I'm not saying it exists. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just going to as a scientist, I'm going to do an expedition, you know, and like Einstein said, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Sure.
You know? So, but anyway, he came up here, and we had a little communication with him, and he was sitting in this room right above us, focusing on the mountain, and this beam came from the mountain and hit him in the chest, illuminated his whole body.
I don't mean to interrupt you here, but who else was nearby? Was how many?
There was
people?
Another person in the room with him when
okay.
it happened.
Okay.
And I was in the house too as well, and the whole house was shaking. I thought we were having an earthquake.
Really?
And we had a candle sitting on a little, and the candle was moving around. The whole house was shaking. And I go, what the heck happened? It was right after 12 o'clock. And his friend with him saw all these like hieroglyphs and maps and charts and everything on his back. His whole body illuminated. And it turned his world upside down. And he said, you know, I'm a scientist. I use equipment to measure things. You know, he said, I don't use my body for data, you know, for downloads of data. And he said that I don't even know what to do with this. And he said it was the most loving, blissful experience he's ever had. And he couldn't even talk about it for a few days without crying. He said it was so powerful.
Wow.
And now he's traveling all over Tibet and Egypt, and he's really expanding.
Now, how long ago did this happen?
I think it was a couple of years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Now, in that time period, were any of those hieroglyphs or whatever that was seen, has anybody been able to associate anything with what was seen?
Yes. Yeah, they have. You'd have to interview them on that. But okay. They've seen them, and they've had more experiences, and it just began, it started unfolding from there on. So.
Wow. What other kind of interesting experiences can you tell us about that might be equally compelling?
Well, the other guy here, there's another guy here that was very religious, and he didn't believe any of this, and he came out with his two sisters just to bring some peace in the family.
Sure.
Because it's the only time I can spend with my sisters, and he said, he calls them his woo-woo sisters, you know. So.
I know a few of those woo-woo people.
And so he came out here, and he started taking photographs, and then the orbs and the light spheres started appearing, every color you can imagine, every size. And he's going, wait a second, this isn't us. They're here 1 minute, they're gone the next. He said, there isn't any dust in the air. There's nothing. They totally disappear. It's not a water spot. So he's using his analytical mind trying to figure this out. You know, like,
right.
This makes no sense. And he's getting these incredible pictures. And then one of these power-ups like that came with us came and just lit the whole sky up and made a nice turn. He saw that. And he saw about 15 or 20 other, what he thought were satellites, but they were making turns. And they were here at a time when, like you experienced, that there was no satellites in the area.
Right.
So that intrigued him. And then the coup de grace was the triangle. We had a huge triangle come and fly over his head, and that just pushed him over the edge. He had no explanation for that.
Right.
And when I left, he had a broken wrist and a cast, and I told him, you know, I said, there's some incredible energy here, and a lot of phenomenon happens here with that is spontaneous healing and things like that. And I said, why don't you give up your wrist to him, you know, just hold it up and say, hey, I'd really like some help with this. And he was real resistant to it, and I walked in. You know, I didn't want him to do it while I was there. I just walked in. It's between you and spirit, whatever happens here.
Right.
So he did, and he woke up in the morning. His wrist was totally healed.
No kid.
Yeah, completely healed.
Wow.
So, and there's another guy here that had a huge tumor.
Before you get into the tumor, what happened with the woo-woo sisters?
Oh, the whole family just united.
Okay,
they're
good
all
deal.
Doing
so happy ending.
Yeah, total happy. I mean, they were all crying and hugging when they left. And
very cool.
It brought everybody together, which is really what it's all about.
Sure.
You know, it's belief systems should never separate family.
So now what with the tumor?
Well, another man came to one of the conferences, and he was bleeding. He had a bleeding ulcer and a tumor, and he checked himself out of the hospital to come here, got a taxi against the hospital's wishes. They were angry. And he came here, and they threw a tent out for him. They set him up. And he said his prayers out in the field and asked for help. And his belief and his intent was very strong. And first day, he started feeling really good, and he didn't know why. And second day, he felt better. It was a three-day conference. And then he went out and went back to his doctor, and they x-rayed him. There's nothing there. The bleeding stopped. The tumor is gone. Everything.
Hmm. You know, so. I want to deviate to another little subject here. And by the way, if you hear people talking in the background here, folks, it's the people from A&E as they're setting up their equipment and whatnot, getting ready for their documentary whenever I release James to get to them. So again, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to do this. We're sitting beside a very unique looking house, and this structure, I think deserves to be mentioned. So would you tell everybody what it is we're sitting next to?
Well, it's actually a bridge that used to go across the river, and I built my house out of it. So
it is just too cool. I took some snapshots, and I hope to include it in our posting of this interview. Off to the side, though, is this very strange-looking structure that's connected, and it looks like a pyramid. What's going on there?
That's the pyramid building, and we do in the top of the pyramid. That's where we do a lot of the clearing work and counseling and the higher energy work, you might say, that we work with.
So that's where the spiritual magic happens?
Yeah.
All right.
When you want to go interdimensional, that's where we go.
Really? Okay. Well, then, all right. Well, without giving out too much, give me an idea of what an interdimensional clearing, cleansing would be like. What would happen?
Well, most people are carrying old wounds and traumas from the past. And so, you know, and a lot of people don't believe in past lives, but, you know, all these phobias and things that we carry around with us and some of the knowledge that we have and these gifted artists and things like that, that's where it comes from. It comes from past lives, because a lot of times there's no reason for people to have a phobia in this life because nothing happened to them to generate that phobia. Extreme fear of water or heights or all kinds of things. Even allergies, you know, a lot of times come from past lives. So we clear those. We start off by, we clear out any unseen energies that aren't supposed to be here. We only work with the highest conscious energy. And then we go into past lives, clear those, and we it's like this is your life from there on. We go from age one to your present age and pull any blocks or patterns or any traumas that happen. Clear those, and then at the end there's an initiation. And what happens is you get a love feeding or a power feeding from your own main teacher and guide. We all have guides and angelic beings that are watching over us. They're helping us to make our own God connection.
And I don't mean to interrupt you here, but now these guides... Mm-hmm. Are they with us prior to us having a clearing and we just don't know it?
Yes.
And then it's like after the clearing, the door is open and, hello, meet your guide.
Exactly. That's
really?
Well, we have to initiate it from this side because the universe just says as you wish, you know. And so
sure.
If we're running around just thinking we're a body and personality and heavily involved in the material world, that's our reality. We don't care about the rest of the world. And so it's just waiting for that opening for us to just... And that's why some people have real traumatic experiences, so they give it up. That's when people have major openings because they go, okay, I'm done with this. You know, there's got to be another way. And then they're ready usually to have that higher experience.
Well, now, you offered me a clearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling our listeners right now that I am seriously thinking of taking James up on this. And, of course, I want to document this because since it is my own personal clearing, I had actually asked James the other night while he was doing some of our guests that we brought up with us here from the UK if it would be all right for me to videotape or set a camera in there while I'm doing it. He said, no, it's a very personal thing. But since it's going to be my clearing, I want to have it documented so that I can look back and go, geez, Johnny, you cried like a baby.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to put that out over the air.
Well,
but it'd help others.
I don't know if others
understand.
Exactly. But I think it would be kind of interesting because, see, I also want to bring in like an electromagnetic field tester, and I want to see if there's any changes. And I also have a few other little devices I want to bring. I want to see if there's a way of – you got to understand, as a personal researcher slash investigator, I try to look at it in the scientific way.
Yeah.
How can I – it's great that this is happening, but how do I write that down, you know, that it happened? It's just like you tell somebody you believe in God, but then you try to discern what God is to some people. They got no clue, you know. So, in fact, you told me a wonderful story earlier about you talking to an agnostic member of our crew here.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what your explanation or your question back.
Well, he was just saying he didn't believe in any of this stuff, and it's all... it's intangible. It's not real. Well, I kind of asked him to define who he was.
Right.
And, you know, I said, what are you, this body? Just this body and this personality or whatever, you know? And I said, you know, science has proven now that we only have 30,000 genes in our body to run the body. We need 70 to 100,000 to actually make the body function. So 70% at least of our body is governed by an outside force. An unseen force, which is intangible. And I said, so you're already 70% intangible according to science. You know, so so now you're saying, you know, what are you? Are you your thoughts? Are you your feelings? You know, is there something beyond that that's a soul or a spirit that's eternal? You know, what are you? And when you really get down to it, you are intangible, just as the source is intangible. And you do have a body, just like one of the many garments you're walking around in and that you've chosen to come in with, and a personality which you picked up in this incarnation. But the bottom line, the greater majority of you is intangible.
We have a, speaking of wonderful answers, I'm hoping that you'll pay us a little homage to some wonderful questions here from our members at AboveTopSecret.com.
Yes.
And I must apologize to you, sir. Some of these questions may not always be in the most positive light.
Oh, I love them.
Okay.
I love the hard questions.
All right, perfect. One of our members by the name of Paisley 101 wanted to, by the way, we don't know where they come up with the names for these, but God bless them, all right?
Yeah.
Paisley 101 says this: my question to you, James, is this. Are the Palladians or any other star people going to land in mass and make contact with us in the near future?
Definitely, that's on the agenda. It can happen quicker or slower, and a lot of it's up to us. You know, if we start, drop the aggressive, primitive behaviors and quit shooting at them, they'll come sooner, you
right.
know, and get our government to drop, you know, its aggressive behavior. Because, you know, we greet them with our military, and we try to shoot them down and back engineer the technology, you know, for the war industry.
Right.
And then people go, why don't they land on the White House lawn? You know, and I tell them there's no intelligent life there. There's no reason to land on the White House lawn because there's the integrity is just not there.
Sure.
So they're really looking for people of high integrity that have, you know, an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent. Those are the type of people that they're looking for.
Right. Something that always cracked me up. In fact, I think it was in one of the movies about the alien that came down. And for the life of me, I can't remember which movie it was. I know it had Jeff Bridges in it.
Yeah. It was Starman.
Starman, exactly.
Yeah.
They found the, what was it, the Voyager or something that had the gold disc that had the greetings and all the 72 different languages or something
that.
And that's what he would do. He would do greetings during the movie. And I'm thinking, okay, well, in real life, we did send a gold iodized disc up on, wasn't it a Voyager?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do? They come here to visit.
We
greet them down with F-14.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, how are you guys doing? Send
it's
them
like
a ride.
We set a nice mousetrap for them, you know?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Zephyrin or Zephyrian, and I apologize, members, if I don't pronounce your name correctly. Mm-hmm. It's not hooked on phonics for Johnny today. Wanted to know, where are the high-quality images of alien or interdimensional or whatever craft, James? Where are the high-quality daylight videos that would prove beyond reasonable doubt that the claims are a regular context? Can you produce anything else more than just lights in the sky?
Yeah. Well, we have, and we gave you the DVD with the photographs of the physical craft. You know, and one thing we have to realize, too, is that nobody's given me an interdimensional camera yet.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Somebody send me the ultraviolet and the infrared camera.
There you go.
And they are available now.
Yeah.
And you know, furnish us with some of the equipment we need, and we'll furnish you with the
donations,
the
I guess, would be
pictures.
Gladly accepted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, you hear this all the time. You know, everybody's saying, we want this, we want this. And I said, well, send us the equipment to do it, and we can do it. But we are getting the pictures of the craft. And they aren't extremely well-defined because the ships are not quite physical. They're
right.
just out of our physical reality.
Right.
And but we do have pictures of metallic ships and with antenna on them and things of that nature. And they're there for anybody that really wants to do the research.
You have a new DVD that just recently got released. What is the name of the DVD?
Contact Has Begun.
Perfect. And you gave us kind of an exclusive premier showing of
it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You had some wonderful stuff in there that was very thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that kind of stuck with me was a segment where you were talking about this junk genome.
Oh, junk DNA?
Yeah, that's in us. Tell everybody what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you know, almost all the physicists that are working, actually my nephew worked on the Genome Project. He's one of these geniuses. And he was telling me, he said, you know, there's without a doubt we have alien DNA in us. He said, there's no way it could have evolved naturally here. He said, that's one thing. He said, the other thing is that the junk DNA that they call junk isn't really junk. And so I also work with one of the most renowned biophysicists on the planet as well, and he was telling me that we have basically 13 strands of DNA, and each strand has an attribute to it. And so as we start evolving and going through the changes that we're all going through right now, these attributes are going to start kicking in. And one of the genes is a salamander gene, which helps you rebuild the body and do your own self-maintenance, self-healing. There's another gene that opens you up to telepathy, where you start telepathically getting everything from people. There's another gene that allows you to see forward or backward in time.
Wow.
And there's one
gene, I want that one.
Yeah. And there's one that allows you to jump, take your body.
Okay, I'll take
you.
That one too. Yeah.
So, I mean, we just have to activate our DNA, you know, and it's not junk, it's just inactive.
Another member by the name, and again, I apologize, and I think, member, you've actually told me how to pronounce your name, and I'm probably not going to do it right. Mm-hmm. It's M-R-D, capital D-S-T-R-B-R. I think it's like Murd Disturber,
I'm guessing.
In your last ATS Mix interview, James, you mentioned that many ships came in when Dr. Stephen Greer and C. SETI came and did a training there, and that you still have footage of this. I think it's fairly safe to say that there are many at AboveTopSecret.com and elsewhere who would be interested in seeing this footage. Would you be willing to make this available, or do you have some agreement with Dr. Greer to keep it private?
We actually have made it available just recently, the past 2 days. And again, it was an equipment problem. We didn't have the funding or the right equipment to do it. And I just, at the last conference, we put in a bowl out there to, you know, get us the Apple and the Final Cut Pro and everything we needed to do it, because everything I tried to do it with crashed, you know.
Oh, really?
And I have trouble, well, you saw with electronics, I can, not only can I charge things, I can break things. So I'm not the one to do it. So we finally, through many, many hours of work recently, we just threw it all out on YouTube, and we have it on a disc. And actually, I gave you the disc, so
right.
You have the disc now.
By the way, I can't even recall. Did we mention the battery part yet in the interview?
No.
All right. What James was alluding to. All right. Now, this is very bizarre, people. And I got to say, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. In fact, yeah, let me get up and see how much more power. Holy mackerel, it's still got a full charge on. All right, people, this is so bizarre. All right, so I'm coming out here. I got my audio equipment here, which takes a couple of batteries to run. Well, now, I thought there was enough life in them, but it wouldn't even turn on the display unit on there to make it operate. So I'm getting ready to run back to the car to go get a couple of new batteries. And Jason goes, no, hold on here a second. Hand me those dead batteries. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to throw them away for me. No. He holds them in his right hand, and I'm getting ready to go run to get the batteries. He goes, no, hang on a second. I'll recharge them for you. Well, I've heard a lot of great stories, James, but I've never heard that. Let me recharge your batteries, because you could save me a whole ton of money on the amount of batteries I have to buy. He holds them in his right hand, in your right hand, for about 3 to 4 minutes. And he goes, okay, here, put them back in. I go, no, let me go get some new batteries. No, John. Put them inside, and I pop it in. The thing shows a full charge. The thing boots up, and I don't know how long of time we've been talking here, but I just checked the machine again. It's still showing a full charge on what was originally dead batteries. Can we patent that process that you do, James? How did you do that?
You know, we have trillions of volts in our bodies, and it's just a matter of relaxing and setting the intent. And being able to send that energy. And people don't realize is that these energies are very subtle, and we can use them to assist others, to heal, to charge batteries. There's all kinds of uses of these subtle energies, but we just have to learn how to utilize them. But even the producer of the movie, I did the same thing. He had an exotic battery with his camera, and it was totally flat.
Right.
And so I said, well, toss it to me. And I threw it back to him, and it was fully charged, and it blew his mind. And then one of the other producers, Michael Knight, you know, same thing. He had a camera and it was dead. And I said, well, put him in your right hand and just sit with it. And he goes, well, what do I do? And I said, nothing. Just set your intent and relax. And he did. And he actually charged, got him up about.
So he was able to do it.
Yeah, he didn't get it fully charged, but he got it up enough to where you could get things running again.
Too wild. Another member by the name of Easy Now says this, James. Are many of your human visitors to the sanctuary successful when they try to communicate with any of these beings?
A lot of them are. It depends on your level of sensitivity. And, you know, if you have an open, like I was saying, if you have pure intent, an open mind, loving heart, and you do your time, you know, in initiating it, you're going to have an experience. You know, so it depends on the level of sensitivity and the level of openness
right.
as to what they experience.
nine-eyed eel? Ask this. James, you said something to the effect that the aliens slash craft slash manifestations could sense the spiritual level or thoughts or vibrations of the humans waiting below. All joking aside, James, my vibration level has to be the lowest. Even my friends call me a charming, evil psychopath. So what do you think, James? If I came up to your ranch, would the aliens maybe stay away completely through sensing that the natives are hostile in that area?
Yeah, well, you never know. You know, it's like if he wants to come here and give it up, you know, we can help him give it up and get back in touch with his true nature, you know, and drop all the lower frequencies. But it's not just the aliens. He'd probably run everybody else off the ranch as well.
Yeah, with terms like evil psychopath.
Yeah.
You might want to raise an eyebrow on that one.
I would say you might want to change his opinion of himself.
By the way, you're going to hear vans and cars pulling up now, folks, because we've got producers and cameramen running all around the place from Paranormal State, so that's the sounds you hear in the background. Murd Disturber had to ask another question, so here he comes back. He says, hey, James, do you know if any of the scientists plan on making public statements about the experiences they've had at the ranch?
Yeah, actually, we also released that, too. We had a group of physicists, and they have come forward, and they said, yes, this is, you know, they talked about their experience, and they gave a really good dissertation on why this couldn't be anything other like a satellite or anything else. I mean, a massive ship came in and powered up and right over their heads, and it wasn't even dark yet. It wavered back and forth and made a turn, and then I said, you know, do it again, like, so one more time, powered up, and it did, you know.
Wow.
And they were all there to witness it, so they went forward and talked about it.
A member by the name of Wings with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
Ask this. I understand that not too long ago you were able to get your hands on a crystal skull.
Mm-hmm.
How did you obtain it? Did anything strange happen while it was in your possession? Please give us as much details as you can, because crystal skulls have fascinated me for years.
I want to go back to that last question a little bit too, because if people went to Coast to Coast interviews with Art Bell,
right,
there was triple PhD Boeing engineers and
right.
Skunk Works people that were here. And they actually testified on Coast to Coast, so that's some more testimony if they want to check that out.
Okay.
And yes, we did have one of the crystal skulls here. There was a group that had it, and they were having problems with the energy around the skull, and they asked, you know, what they should do with it, and their psychics or their group were told on some other level that it was supposed to come here, and I was supposed to help them clear the energies of it. And so they did bring it here, and I meditated on it, and I was told to bury it as soon as it got here.
Really?
So I did. I buried it. And after I buried it, we had all these earthquakes, a whole swarm of earthquakes happening all around us. And then we brought it up after 3 days, and then I was told to put it in the water, underneath the waterfall, and I did. And we had monsoon rain for 3 days. It's crazy.
Wow.
Rain. And then I put it up in the air, up on top of the pyramid, just in the wind, you know, for the air element. And we had these little whirlwinds everywhere, even inside the house. And I'm going, how do you get a whirlwind inside the house?
Wow.
That makes no sense. And then the last thing we did was for the fire. We had a big fire out here, and I put the skull in front of the fire. And I had photographers from the local newspaper here, everybody. And above the fire, we had this cloud appear out of nowhere. And it started lighting up every color you can think of and put on the tremendous light show. And everybody was just blown away when they saw it. And they went and grabbed their cameras. And as soon as they grabbed their cameras and lifted them up to take a picture, it stopped.
Wow.
Yeah, but it went on for 20 minutes. And people were so enamored by it, they forgot to even get a camera. I mean, it was shocked them so much watching the experience. So I think they do, if you get the ancient ones, the ones that are real, not any other ones, that they do have phenomenal abilities. But I also found whoever's holding them has to have the right consciousness, because if you're not, it's an amplifier, and so if you're not clear within yourself, it's going to amplify anything you've got going on, and you can have problems with them as well.
Were you able to find out where that actual skull originated
from? It came from Bimini, but I think it had off-world origins. That's what it felt like to me. It had some off-world origins.
Are you able to, if you touch certain objects, are you able to get a sense from where they are from, or if there's anything associated
sometimes,
with
yeah,
it?
Sometimes, yeah. But I don't like doing that. That's kind of, I don't know. It's, you know, because how do you validate it? How do you prove it, you know, or anything
sure.
else? So.
There's so much in the paranormal world anyway that out of the box. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, here we are. We're out here trying to document what to a lot of people just, oh, those are just little lights in the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet we see these little lights in the sky make turns or something. And you go, well, how did that happen?
They make turns. They stop. They power up, light the whole field up. They pulse people in the field, which has happened. They do amazing things. And there's no logical explanation that would fit into our paradigm of what these are,
sure.
you know, the standard paradigm.
Right.
And so they are unknowns. But, you know, I always say, you know, like, miracles are really not miracles. It's just we don't understand the forces at play.
And so we associate it with, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like charging the battery. Seems like a big miracle, right? You know, but when you really understand how it works and how energy works and things, it's just an everyday thing.
Well, to me, it was a great hocus pocus.
Because
I have, if it is a trick and so forth, I have no clue. I physically saw his hand at all times. He didn't swap the batteries or anything. Member Mengard has a rather lengthy series of questions. James, why the secrecy in such an unconventional society? Looking at some of those pictures on your site, what do you think of those helicopters that are being flown around by strange objects? You have posted on your site that they are jet-propelled engines and helicopters. Is this just another example of technology that is not known by the common society? Could this possibly be alternate technology, or do you think there is something more than meets the eye? The military crafts that are zooming around, do you think they are humans piloting them in costumes or something else? Have you heard of any of these choppers hovering right over the top of your roof at night? And you know what? You could answer just any of those questions.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of footage of black helicopters coming on a regular basis and black F-15s. And some of them do. I mean, some of these black F-15s over on the reservation, I've talked to people over there, and they said they saw them hovering.
Really?
Sitting there hovering. So they have some technology where they can just stop and sit and hover. And so they do have some technology we don't know about. And especially the black F-15s we've seen here, they have no markings on them whatsoever. And the helicopters
are... You've had some black helicopters, too.
Right? Oh, yeah.
With no markings.
Yeah, no markings. One time I saw a helicopter coming straight at me in the ranch, and we got so tired of them buzzing us, and so I started filming them, putting them on the internet, and then that ended it.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, good for you.
So, but I've seen strange things happen with those helicopters. I saw one coming right at me, and then all of a sudden it went in reverse and started going back the other way, and then a ship appeared between us. So I think it freaks them out when they come here and start losing control of their craft, and they start having experiences that they can't. And we have one here where this UFO was buzzing this big old Chinook, you know, and it was zipping all around this Chinook. And we have both video and stills of that encounter. You know, I think they're running into some things that they can't explain, and technology is way beyond anything they can imagine as well.
Well, this brings up an interesting point. Why are they doing this? Is it something that they feel the information should be suppressed, or are they afraid, perhaps, of what it is you are doing? What are your thoughts on the reason for the outside interference?
I think there's several reasons. One is they want to keep the status quo going. They don't want any changes in the status quo, and they want everybody just to go shopping, you know, and drive their cars and come home and turn the TV on and drink their beer and watch their football game. And they want that just to keep going. The other reason is they've been back in engineering these things for so long that they have the fuelless technology, and they have counter-gravity, anti-gravity. They have all this. They've had it since the 30s. And, you know, basically, you know, the oil industry would take a dim view of that coming out right now. They'd rather just keep gouging the hell out of us like they're doing. You know, and they also have the ability to end disease, and, you know, and so the pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, they represent universal peace, which would take the war industry out. So really,
it sounds like you're saying that it's economics.
It is. It goes against the three main corporations that are really running the country right now, which is the war industry, the oil industry, and the pharmaceutical industry. Totally goes against them. So it is. It's all about maintaining the power, and it's all about war and disease profiteering. Basically, that's the bottom line.
Gentleman by the name of Groin Grinder. I'm sure his girlfriend is very happy.
Yes.
If I camped out on the mountain, James, would I get a better view of the crafts? It seems it would be a much better view of them than down on the valley floor. Has anyone tried to pinpoint where they go into the mountain, say through dowsing or other methods?
Mm-hmm. We have gone up there where we see them going in and out of the mountain, and there's nothing there. It's just big boulders. They have some type of technology, I guess, to just open that up or change whatever's material there into an immaterial thing and pop in and out. People have gone up there and slept right on the entrance and the entrance of where we've seen them come in and out, and they had the most phenomenal experiences, and some weren't ready for it. I mean, they came back and almost went crazy. So
wow.
It's some intense energy up there, and going up there, I hope you're ready.
I was just going to say, should there be a disclaimer added?
Yes, exactly. If you're going to go up there or take a group up there, you better have them sign a waiver.
That's right. Ms. Smarty Pants asked this. James, are you familiar with Alex Collier? And if so, what is your opinion of his disclosures concerning aliens? And do you feel you see UFOs because you are spiritually enlightened, or you are spiritually enlightened because you see UFOs?
That's like chicken and the egg, you know. I can't even answer that one because it's like it concerns time, you know, and I'm sure there was a time I was totally enlightened, and there's a time I forgot, and and I'm going back to that other phase, you know, so we right. go back and forth, back and forth.
Are you familiar with this gentleman, Alex Collier?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I think he had some really good information. He brought some real good information. There's a few things I didn't totally agree upon, you know, but like with any information, it always has to come through the mind that's here on the planet, and it's going to be altered a little bit by that person's beliefs. Although we're all doing the best we can, we don't always get it right. Even myself, I say that about, look, you know, this is a matter of everybody maintaining their own discernment. You know,
right.
So it's important to, when you're hearing anything, to keep your own discernment and see what it feels like, you know, to you. Does it feel right, or how does it feel?
Right. This next member isn't just anyone. It is anyone.
Okay.
Anyone asked this.
Well, I'm nobody. So.
There you go. And I'm anonymous.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, what a group we got. I have experienced an orb hovering over me in my bedroom. I woke to an iridescent orb about the size of my head right in front of my face. It looked almost like it was liquid, like a bubble, but it emitted a glow. Next to it, it looked like there was a dark mist. I felt like it was protecting me. Then I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and there a shadow of a short person or child was near the side of my bed. I don't know if it was out of fear or what it was. I just closed my eyes and tried to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I also had my name called to me in a friendly, soft tone twice in the hallway, and have captured what looks to be orbs in many pictures. My four-year-old has come to me saying that orange or red lights sneak up on her and fly around the room. I have not told her what I have experienced. My question to you, James, is what does this mean?
Well, it sounds like more than one thing is going on. Because what I tell people when you're having those experiences is to really learn how to heal any unseen negative influences and then talk with what's left. You know, so it sounds like more than one thing is going on there. She's having contact by some kind of an ultra-dimensional being that's probably protecting her. It's just like a moth coming to a flame. The more light people are generating, the more awake they are, they start sensing other things and other dimensions. And we always say just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, you know. So there are beings that we need to keep an eye on, and there are beings that are protecting us. So it's just a matter of developing the spiritual discernment and the ability to clear out the other ones that she probably needs to look at.
Our final question from member Light to You asks this. James, can you explain the structure of the craft and its related energy in moving? And I don't quite understand how the question is worded here. And related energy to move about knowing how to navigate in the world or universe. Did that question make any sense to you?
Kind of, yeah.
All right.
Because the ships are alive that they have.
Okay.
And they're connected into their own consciousness. And when you get into the real advanced ones, it's a matter of they put their thought there and they're there, you know, because there's a link up between them and the ship itself. So, and it depends on, you know, they don't travel. They even go beyond light speed into that non-local reality where everything travels instantaneously.
Right.
So they could be light years away and be here in a moment.
Hmm.
You know, they have some of that technology. It just depends on how advanced the group is that you're working with.
Right.
That does it for our member questions.
Good.
And I thank all our members and listeners for submitting them, and I thank you, James, for answering them. I just want to just briefly tell you how much AboveTopSecret.com appreciates and respects you allowing us to come onto your property and try to view and experience some of this phenomena ourselves. I have to say, as a researcher, this is kind of tough for me because I have to try to set myself into a neutral stance.
Yes, yes.
And use data. And, you know, when I'm then looking at NASA satellite data, and it's saying there's no satellites, and yet we're seeing 20, 30 objects in the sky, to me, that look like satellites, but they're going the wrong directions, I end up going away with more questions than I had when I showed up. And it's like, thank you, James, you know.
Yeah.
So where do I go from here? In fact, many of us were scratching our head.
Yeah.
But I do know this. We all have thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. We've had wonderful time. And we appreciate you allowing us to come onto your property to do this preliminary investigation and documentary. Do you have anything coming up, or do you have a release of a book or something that you would like to tell everybody about?
Well, we've got the movie out, you know, Contact Has Begun, and then the three books out, you know, Reunion Source, Becoming Gods, and The Ultimate Soul Journey, which talks about a lot of the experiences that I had. We also have another movie coming up that I can't even talk about yet because they haven't released it, so they told me not to talk about it. But I'll let you know as soon as they say
I can
talk about it.
I promise. Okay, that's great.
The main thing is, like you did, you came up and did your own investigation and saw for yourself, and that's what's more important than anything else. You want people to have their own experience and come up here and not be indoctrinated or being told what to believe or anything else. It's all about the individual having their own experience.
Well, if somebody did want to come up here and take you up on your offer, how do they go about doing that?
They just go to eseti.org and you know,
could you spell that out for them?
ECETI.org. Just go there, and all the contact information is the email, the phone, everything. They can call us up and let us know when they want to come out, and we can arrange it.
And obviously, that is the preferred option rather than just showing up at the front door at 1 a.m. in the morning. Hi, James, I'm here.
Yeah, especially when the snow is flying because they might run into a locked gate. You know, in the wintertime, when we start getting 3 or 4 feet of snow on the ground, you know, people get the wrong vehicle, come up here, they're stuck.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I'm seeing now 5 or 6 camera people running around the place, so I better let you go. James, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to be doing a clearing here. I don't know if we're going to have time with the amount of people going on here, so we might have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
What should our listeners and members expect out of Johnny after the clearing?
You'll just be more of Johnny.
Be more Johnny. Well, I'm sure that'll make a lot of people very unhappy. Thanks again, James. We appreciate your time.
All right.
And thanks for joining us on the ATS Mix. And unbelievable, still a charged battery. I don't believe that. How did you do that? That is too freaky.
Wow, John, you know, that was amazing. And, of course, you and I have both interviewed James before. But, you know, I would love to hear more of what you did up there, John.
Well, you know, I did get a chance to interview the director, producer, and cameraman from his DVD Contact Has Begun, and they mentioned some strange things that happened with them. Would you like to hear a little bit of that?
I would love to hear that, John. Can we hear it now?
Yeah, sure. Here it is.
Hi, everyone. As I told you, I'm still out here at the James Gillian Ranch, and just by sheer coincidence, I happened to run into the producer of the latest DVD that James has come out with, which is entitled Contact Has Begun. And sitting with us is John Savage, and a member of his crew, Chase Savage. Great to have you guys here. Listen, I know that we don't have a lot of time with you, so I'll just try to make my questions kind of brief. I've told you guys off camera and off tape some of my experiences that I've had. I've had some really bizarre experiences while I've been here at the ranch. And I'm just kind of curious, when you guys were up here shooting your documentary, did anything strange happen to you guys while you were shooting?
I witnessed a strangeness, at least a strangeness to me.
Yeah.
Coming up here, and everything is totally open. You have access to everything, all of James's footage, which is very extensive. And
Actually, I heard you guys had quite a fun time looking for some of this extensive footage.
Yes, and his filing system is unique. It's called a cardboard box, and it's kind of the hunt and peck system. But to go on with that, in other words, I had to keep an open mind. This was a new area for me. I'm interested in individuals that have a story to tell. James piqued my interest, and I was willing to invest the time, money, and energy to record his story and see where it goes. And I'm proud of what we came up with. But one night, the director and writer and the fellow with the expertise in the media, I said, you know, I'm tired of going in and hearing people say, wow, did you see this? Did you see that? And I'm always in the house or something. And so we decided to sleep out in the field, you know, in a sleeping bag. It was beautiful weather, just like it is now. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and Michael Knight is the director's name, and and he's already up, and he's sitting on the platform over there. So I get up and go over, and Michael and I are just talking. See anything? No, but a beautiful night, morning. And I have a little camera that everybody laughs at. It's a very inexpensive camera, and it's not high quality. That's all I can say. But it is digital, and it does have a flash on it. So there was a satellite type of object, and I say satellite type of object because that was the thing that I can relate to at that moment in time very easily, a light going across the sky from the south to the north, heading towards Mount Adams. So Michael said, John, take a picture of that. You know, you're the producer. I said, oh, yes, right. I do have a great sense of humor, and Michael does as well. So I held this camera up and clicked, and the flash goes off, and there was this huge, brilliant white light that went off. I said, wow. And Michael started to laugh, and he says, do it again. Well, the recovery rate on my cameras, I don't even know what it is, but it's probably...
2 days?
No, but 10 seconds.
Okay.
Might be bragging. All but right. I'm not, I don't care.
Sure.
And so I clicked it again. And went again, and I said, oh, my God. And I'm a little bit in a daze, and even now as I speak of it, it was a moment for me, and Michael said, do it again, and I don't know. So I just held the camera up, and I clicked it again, and it went 3 times. And so it was at that point in time that I started to look at this a little bit differently. Well, what did I see? That I can't really tell with any intelligence, but it sure wasn't swamp gas, and a lot of the things I've heard, it wasn't. So that was my beginning to really, look at this with without a lot of judgment.
I'm sure that when you guys come out to do a documentary, there's got to be just tons of equipment and personnel involved in something like that. I know myself, there's always something that happens. I was just curious, Chase, since you were kind of like, you were manning the cameras pretty much through this documentary, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Now, those take enormous battery packs, and I mean, you got to keep right on top of them. Somebody told me something kind of strange happened with you and a battery pack. What was that all about?
Yeah, there were a couple different times something happened. The main one was when we were outside filming. I was manning the cameras and running the batteries and stuff, and so we had a wireless mic set up on James. We were filming outside, and also our interviewer, Michael Knight, we had a battery pack set up on him with the wireless mic. So throughout the filming, when the batteries on James's pack kept dying and stuff, and we'd only change the batteries once in Michael's pack, so James, after about the second time the batteries had gone out on James said, why don't we switch sides? Because there's one side that if the batteries are on one side of me, they drain very rapidly, and on the other side, they'll stay charged. So after several times of having to switch batteries in the mics on James, we switched on, put on a different side, and for the rest of the day of filming outdoors, we never had to change another battery.
Wow.
And then also, in between takes, I had a digital camera that I was taking still photography just to document some things, and I had forgot to bring my charger because we were only here for a day, and I brought 2 separate batteries, and so I was out taking still photography in between takes, and the batteries in my camera, they're a special battery. You can't, they're not the AA or things that you have can slip into any camera. You need a special charger, and so that when I was taking still photography, that had totally died on me. And so James said, when we do this next take, just give me the battery and it'll be about 20 minutes. And he said, I'll charge it for you.
Wait a minute. How big of a battery are we talking about?
It's just a small battery. It's about maybe 2 inches long by maybe 1 inch wide.
Okay.
But it's just a still camera.
Right.
So you need a special charger for it.
Right.
And so
nothing you could go down to Walmart and
No, you have to get the charger from the factory.
Gotcha.
Canon. James said, "Give me this, give me the battery and I'll put it in my pocket for a while we're taking this, doing this next take." And so I did, and when we finished the take, he handed me back the battery, and before I'd handed it to him, I couldn't even turn the camera on, let alone take a picture.
Sure.
And so when I turned the, like, it was able to turn the camera back on, and it was fully charged. They have that, the monitor on the camera where it shows the different stages of your battery, and it was almost all the way up to the top again, and for the rest of the day, and that evening, the battery stayed fully charged, and I didn't have to, I mean, I could continue taking still photography in between the takes and things, so that there was something that is kind of unusual, that to have that personal experience, and to know that when you can't turn your camera on, and your battery's totally dead, and then it's charged again, so.
And just as a quick sidebar, I don't know if I told you, Chase, I know I told John, but I had a similar incident. I was interviewing James, and I had my little pocket digital audio recorder, brand new batteries in it, and they wouldn't work. So I go, hold on, I'll be right back. He goes, no, just hand them to me. So I go, hey, what a great guy. He's going to go throw them away for me or recycle them or whatever. And I go, I'll be right back. He goes, no, no, sit down, John. And he goes, about 2 minutes later, he goes, there, that should do it. Hands them back to me. And I go, yes. Yeah, put them back inside. So I put them back inside. I had a full charge. I finished the interview. Of course, I'm worried about that, you know, halfway through, you know, then you got to go still go get more batteries and try to do the pickup where you left off. I did three other interviews that were like 40, 50 minutes each. And just the other day, did they finally, this was like a, this is over a week ago that I did this, and they were still remain charged regardless of how long I've been using, and they've just now started to diminish. So I can kind of relate to what you were saying, but I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I respect it. And I think now that rather than invest in a whole lot of batteries, I'm just going to send James all my dead batteries and have him mail them back to me. That would be great.
I wouldn't rely on that, but I did experience it. And when you do, it's there's really not much to say
other
than, yes, it happened, and it happened to me. That's all I know.
Now, you guys were out here last night while I was taping in infrared, and I believe, Chase, we even put you behind the infrared tripod for a little while, and while James took a little bit of a break. And we've kind of been experimenting around here this past week with trying to be able to capture a phenomena that hasn't been my specialty. I've never been a big fan of orbs. In fact, when I came out here, even though I try to remain neutral and unbiased about orbs, I got a preconceived idea. So coming out here, since I have been able to debunk orbs so much, I thought this would be a pretty easy thing to debunk. And we saw stuff last night that I've never seen before. I mean, I've seen the casuals, use the flash, snap something, you got a circular spheroid shaped, looks like it's overexposed, you know, picture. And last night I saw a bunch of them. They seemed to be converging almost like in, I don't know, what would you call it, like a tunnel, vortex, what? I don't know.
Yes, I think you're describing it well.
And they seem to have been responding to people singing, which was crazy. Have you guys ever heard or seen anything like this before?
I saw it last night, and I was here, and there were 20-plus people here, and you had the big screen, 19-inch screen, and we all saw it. So, yes, and it was undeniable. And with the singing and so forth and the clapping, it...
And no wind. We didn't have any wind. And
no.
Didn't it look like it was like a river of them kind of like rushing through? I mean, at
well,
one point...
it was on video. You've got the footage. It's beautiful. It looked like a river, and it kind of goes into a spiral, and it's...
It's wild.
Unique.
Stuff. Very unique. I really don't... I still haven't been able to put my finger on it because, you know, I'm... As an investigator, I have to try to look at everything. Oh, what else can we rule out that these things are? I'm kind of finding it harder and harder to do that. So
we did... And then this may be off the topic, but DCT,
which is
Dreams Come True Enterprises. That's the company that we have. It's an LLC. We did do a documentary on orbs with Michal Ledwith, and so
now a lot of people might not know who he is. Who is he?
Well, Michal Ledwith, in my opinion, and I'll have you people do your own research. He is again an individual, in my opinion, that is. Has credentials that can't be dismissed offhand, and his PhDs, which are many, cover theology, physics, science, and but I'm getting.
Did
off
he work
the
at the Vatican?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Was that in an advisory position?
Yes.
Would it have been for somebody high up, like the Pope?
I'm not Catholic, but is as high up as you can go, and
yes.
I think the answer is yes. I don't, but what was new that you captured, and I'm going to say you because you did do it and it was your equipment, was the video of the orbs. Many of the still shots with the digital, of which even with my little camera that does I do get orbs, but capturing the video of the orbs last night that you did, that many people saw here, and it's recorded, whatever you're going to do with it.
Sure.
It was unique.
One of the things that, and I'm kind of glad you mentioned that, because one of the things as a former debunker, well, I'm still a debunker, but at least in this genre, I have to look at it in a more positive vein than I have in the past. And a widespread spectrum of infrared being shot, whatever we seemed to be capturing last night and also a couple of nights before when I kind of stumbled upon this, and I'm sure other people have done this before, but we were looking at it through those military goggles, those Generation 3 military goggles. And of course, one of my preconceived ideas about orbs was everything we're looking at is like out of focus. So I kept asking everybody, okay, well, now you're looking at these things that look like soap bubbles that are floating through the sky and doing 45-degree angles and jetting all over the place, going against the wind and everything. What do they look like through the Gen 3s? Because I thought, if they're out of focus, those Gen 3s will make it sharp, you know? And they go, we're seeing exactly what you're seeing on the monitor. They're not out of focus. What you are videotaping and capturing is exactly what we're seeing through these military goggles. And that kind of blew me away. In fact, I'm still at a kind of loss of words for that.
Well, I think there's an open-mindedness that's coming about, because in doing a documentary, you're really recording somebody else's message. And in that, for me, there's a there has to become a responsibility of from where I'm coming from to invest time, etc., that it has to be worth my while. Obviously, that's an individual choice. But in doing this involvement, particularly with James Gilliland, I've had to expand my belief system, my preconceived notions without doing my research. And where James Gilliland, for me, is a unique individual in doing a documentary is that he allowed me complete access to everything. And that was very unique in my experience. And he still continues to do it today, even though I'm not doing it. But I've only met you, like you said. Here I am, and from what I can see, he's offering you the same courtesy, and I say that as a courtesy, or openness that he offered me.
And I have to concur 100%.
That's where you and I have gotten a great understanding individually on that topic.
And I have to concur 100%. Ever since we first stepped foot onto his sanctuary, his ranch here, he has been nothing but open. It's like, look, whatever you want, you know, what do you need? What would you like to look at? I, of course, being an investigator, I'm always looking like, okay, there's something here, let's find it. And I haven't been able to find it. If somebody wanted to, the name of the DVD is Contact Has Begun. It is a DCT production. Do you folks have a website?
Yes, we do. And actually, it's Contact Has Begun, www.contacthasbegun. And we have a webpage with that. And it can be purchased through that. And it can be purchased through the Yosetti website of James Gilliland.
And I can't thank both of you guys enough for stopping by and sitting down and chatting with the ATS Mix Radio. And I would like to encourage everybody, if you haven't had a chance to, go to either yosetti.org or also www.contacthasbegun.com and grab yourself your own copy and see what all the hubble is about.
Man, John, I tell you, that is a four rabbits up show for me, because I know how analytical you are. James's interview was fantastic, and I really loved his producer, everything that you did with this guy. But boy, what a great show, John. Kudos. And you know, I'm gonna take one of your standard things. Standing my friend.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You know, the only thing that would have made the whole event a lot more of a positive sense for me?
More chicks?
No, if I would have had you, my partner, there.
Well, thanks, John. God, that makes me feel good.
Hey, am I really in the right frame of mind? I could have gone with Chicks or Dave Rabbit, and I chose Dave Rabbit.
Well, that was sweet of you, John. But, you know, I got to tell you, I just like to say this, John. Honestly, God, truth. I mean, I've said this before, but I am so absolutely, honestly, God, jealous of the fact that you guys got to do this, and I was not able to because of personal reasons. I just cannot wait for the earliest opportunity to go up to Mount Adams and to Trout Lake and to meet James personally, which you had the ability to do. And you know, I just it must have been one of those moments, John, and I know I saw some of the amazing pictures you took and some of that stuff. Man, I'm there's no force on nature that's going to keep me from going next time, John.
Well, good. Well, good. And I just want to add that we have a lot more for all our listeners and members of AboveTopSecret.com to come. Some very special, unexpected things that are going to be happening here as we continue on with our campaign of ATS Investigates James Gillian's Sattva Sanctuary outside of Mount Adams.
So until next time, I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Anonymous.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.